Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to Exodus again, and of course to chapter 20, and we have reached the ninth commandment. Only one more to go. The ninth commandment. And we find it in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God was always anxious that his people do right by their neighbor. Always treat them kindly. Or as we are told, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, you'll never tell lies about yourself. Well, perhaps I should say, you would never tell hurtful lies about yourself, because you might tell lies that flatter you, that speak well of you. In other words, you might say things about yourself that would give the impression you're much better than you are. Now, that's telling lies about yourself, but of course, they're lies that are not meant to hurt. Here, in this commandment, God is forbidding us from saying anything false about our neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against our neighbor. We noticed earlier in the sixth commandment, the simple statement, thou shalt not kill. And that's referring, of course, to taking the physical life of a person, turning them into someone who's dead. And that would be a bad thing. That would be a bad thing. You're not to kill. But this commandment is also about killing. Not killing someone physically, but killing someone's good name, putting to death the reputation of a person, the good standing of a person in a neighborhood by spreading falsehood against them. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You will not say things about your neighbor that are not true, with the intention of hurting them, harming them. That's why if that happens and the neighbor takes you to court, the courts will take a very dim view of anyone who spreads falsehood about another. And although I'm sure you haven't seen news reports about this, there have been millions of pounds imposed by way of compensation by the court for the one about whom lies have been told. The person who spread the false reports have been told, you owe this person this amount of money. And sometimes it's many millions of pounds, because the lies so hurt that person personally, but it hurt their business, it hurt their families, it hurt their standing in society. And the courts have said, doing such damage as this, you'll have to pay a big price. So the courts take it very seriously, even as God takes it very seriously. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, I have to say this, boys and girls, and I want you to learn this. Telling lies comes very naturally to us. In fact, I think I'm right in saying that we are more likely to tell a lie than tell the truth when we're backed into a corner and questioned about something bad that has been done. Here in school, when there's something happens that shouldn't have happened, and those involved have been questioned, did you do it? The chances are a lie will be told, even though it is very obvious that the person being questioned did do it. But the chances are the answer will go back, no, it wasn't me. And that will be said without a thought, because our old hearts are inclined to tell lies before they're inclined to speak the truth. Boys and girls, just think about this, and think back to those occasions when the teacher quizzed you about something. And if you told a lie, you remember that that's indeed what you did. Because it is so common amongst men to tell lies. God describes man's mouth in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 13. It's a chapter in which a very detailed description is given of the character of man, and God goes down man, as it were, bit by bit, and describes each part of him. Look at, if you can, Romans chapter 3, and the verse 10 is where we begin the description. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's where we start. God's describing mankind. There's not one righteous person among men. Not one. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then it goes on. Their throat is an open sepulchre. You know what a sepulchre is? It's a grave wherein are found the mouldering bodies that have been buried. And I'll just remind you of what Martha said when the Lord called her brother from the sepulchre. She said, "Oh Lord, he's dead these 4 days, and he stinketh. His body was corrupting." That's what a grave's like. It was a place of foul aromas. And God uses that to say that their throat is an open sepulchre. Man's throat produces that which is foul. Lies. Lies. It goes on. With their tongue they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips. Asps are venomous snakes. Asps are snakes that the bite of which can kill. And God says that the poison of asps is under the lips of men. Think about that. Men, in other words, can kill by their lips, by the words they speak. Our mouths, as Christians, ought to be the means of life to those around us as we share the gospel. But by nature, our lips produce death in others. Because, as is forbidden here in this commandment, so often we bear false witness against our neighbour. It happens out there on the schoolyard. You mightn't notice yourself doing it, but sometimes you do not tell the truth about another pupil. You say something that's not just accurate or honest about them. And you create the impression in the minds of those who are listening to you, an impression that is wrong concerning the person of whom you're speaking. Yes, we can kill a person's good name, a person's good standing, a person's good reputation by the words that we speak. That's what God is getting at here. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's what God is saying. Oh, we need to bear this in mind. We need to bear this in mind. Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse 5 says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." Utter lies. Don't ever be a false witness about anyone. Don't tell lies about anyone. Don't bear false witness against anyone. As I've already stated, Christians rather are to seek the good of their neighbours by speaking to them the words of the gospel. Not tell lies about them and hurt them, but rather do them good by speaking the words of the gospel. Zechariah chapter 8 and the verse 16 says this, "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbour. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates or within your home." Execute the judgment of truth. Let truth be sounded within your home. Let you speak the truth to those around you. That's what you should be doing. When you speak the truth, you're spreading life. You're spreading light. You're spreading that which is good. The very opposite of bearing false witness. The very opposite. We read in Ephesians, the chapter 1 and the verse 13, these words, "In whom," that is, "in Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Every one of you saved here today are saved because someone spoke the truth to you. Someone brought you the very truth of God by their words. And that's what God intends our mouth to be, a vehicle, a means of bringing life to others. When the Lord Jesus was about to go to heaven after he had finished his ministry, he spoke to his 11 apostles. Paul the apostle was added to the group later. But he spoke to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." How did they do that? By speaking, by opening their mouth and declaring the words of God. That's how we are to do good to our neighbours rather than to harm our neighbours by bearing false witness against them. Proverbs, the words of chapter 14, verse 25, "A true witness delivereth souls." Delivereth souls. Everyone in heaven will remember the person who brought to them the truth of God. In most instances, because I'm thinking of some who got saved, but they got saved as a result of maybe picking up a tract that was lying on the ground. They don't know who brought that tract or how it got there, but they picked it up and as a result of reading it, they got saved. So it'd be a little difficult for them to say exactly who it was the instrument by which the truth of God came to them. Of course, they can point at the author of the tract. And they can say, "Well, the word of the person who wrote that tract, they brought me life." So I suppose what I said at the first there, everybody in heaven will remember and rejoice over the person who brought them the truth of God by which they were saved. One other thing I want to say, we have the example of the Lord Jesus to guide us. He is our example in all things, boys and girls. He's an example to every boy and every girl here. You will find in his life that which will teach you what it is you are supposed to do. You may not be an adult, you're not fully grown, but still, in the life of Christ there is given to you an example of how it is you should live. And when it comes to this commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbour, we find in Christ an example. Paul wrote to Timothy these words in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse 13. "Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." That is, what he said was a confession of the truth. He relayed the truth to Pilate. Maybe if we had been before Pilate, We mightn't have been so kind and merciful as the Lord. We might have said, you're a vile rascal, Pilate. Here you are, and you have me in court, and I've done nothing wrong. You're a rascal. That's what we might say. But the Lord Jesus witnessed a good confession. And by that, of course, the scripture means that when he was before Pilate, he explained who he was. He said, yes, I am the King of the Jews, and I've come into this world to carry out the will of my Father and save a people for all eternity. In John chapter 18, just let me give you proof of the Savior's good confession. John chapter 18, and we're looking at the verse 37. Start from verse 36 of John 18. It says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. And by the way, where you find that sort of a statement, thou sayest that I am a king, that is an old-fashioned way of telling the person who has just said that you're telling the truth. Thou hast said, or thou sayest, that I am a king. And I've often explained that what the Savior here is saying is, what you have said is exactly right. It's true. I am a king. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, for this purpose, for this reason, was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. So the Lord Jesus took time with this Roman governor who was a pagan and who had no time really for God or truth. But the Lord Jesus took time to speak to him and explain to him who he was. But as well as that, the Lord Jesus had for 33 years lived before man. And reports of his life doubtless would have come at the end to Pilate. And so Pilate would have had a confession of truth presented to him, not only in the words of the Lord Jesus, but the reports that he heard about him, the miracles that he wrought, the healings, the good deeds, kind and gracious words, all this made up the good confession that Christ gave before Pilate. And that's what you and I have to do before the world. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Now, this ninth commandment, when it says thou shalt not, carries the implication, of course, thou shalt do the opposite to what it is that you're not to do. There's always the two sides to the coin. I explained that before. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, that truth can be put in the positive form, and thou shalt bear true witness to thy neighbor. Tell him the truth. That's our chief obligation to our neighbor. If we love our neighbor, we'll tell them the truth of the gospel. We'll not keep hidden from them. We'll not keep to ourselves the way of salvation, but we'll share it. We'll share it with our neighbor. Oh, may you grow up to live by that rule. Well, we'll end our study there, and I trust that God will bless it to your heart. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless the word spoken today in weakness. O God, may the boys and girls understand what it is God is saying to us all. May they understand what it is they must do for their neighbor, even tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Bless our school today, the exam taking place at the moment, and exams later in the day. We commit all these things to Thee, Lord, and pray for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.